Hey, this is Chuck, and you are listening to Fans with Bands, the podcast where we talk to the fans and the bands they dig about life, music, and whatever the hell else we want to talk about. Today on Fans with Bands, we're talking to Monolithic Architecture. Check it out. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fret Rescue. Located in Southeast Michigan, Joe at Fret Rescue has over 17 years of experience as a journeyman luthier. From basic setup to major repairs and restorations, you can put your trust in Fret Rescue. Contact Fret Rescue via email at fretrescue@gmail.com. You can also find them on social media by searching for Fret Rescue, @FERTRESCUE. That's Fret Rescue. Hey, this is Chuck with Fans with Bands, and I'm talking to Mike and Chris of Monolithic Architecture. How are you guys doing?
Doing excellent, man.
Awesome. After seeing your guys' like devastating set opening up for Finality back in December, and then getting a chance to talk with you, Chris, I was like, man, I gotta talk with you guys because the music was so crushingly heavy and awesome. You know, the whole performance. So thank you so much for being on Fans with Bands.
Absolutely, brother. Thanks, We're very happy to be here.
Awesome.
It was really nice meeting you. I've seen you around forever. I've just never actually talked to you for some crazy reason.
Well, you know, I sometimes feel bad because, like, when I go to a show, I'm usually like, very focused on taking pictures. You know, mm-hmm. And so I hardly talk to anybody. I usually, you know, if I see some people when I first get there, and then once the music starts, I'm kind of really focused in into my own shit, which is not the best, but. It's what
I
do.
Well, it gets results, man. Your pictures are amazing.
Thanks, man. Sure. So that totally explains why I probably, you know, I've seen you guys before, but just haven't gotten a chance to talk with you. But now we can, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
So, let's start at the beginning. Like, how did Monolithic Architecture come to be?
Well, we kind of, I've been married to Mike's wife's aunt, so he's my he's my nephew, really.
Oh, okay.
So, cool. For 25 years now, so he's been in the family for a while, and we found out we were metalheads, and we started going to shows together, and then over COVID, he has a drum set all set up in his garage, and he said, "Hey, you want to come over and jam?" And so awesome. We did, and we just started. Started playing.
That was it.
That's awesome. So how did you guys realize that you were both into metal? What was the key?
Well,
there?
I was in a grind band called Hobo Stew, and he came to those shows.
Oh, okay,
and,
cool.
You know, it was really, you know, but before that too, we just. You know, we started hanging around each other at the different family functions and stuff. And then we started talking about music one time and we're like, oh, well, hell. And then he told me he didn't have anyone to go to shows with. And I'm like, well, going to shows is my sports, man. that's what I like to do more than anything.
Right. That's awesome. I like how you call it that it's your sports, you know, because some people are like so driven about, man, I like some sports too. But, you know, it's not as much of a thing as like going to a show and just like, checking shit out. So awesome.
Yeah,
super cool.
Hell yeah.
So I heard you guys were I think I saw it on Facebook, and then I think when we were messaging back and forth, you guys just finished up in the studio. What was that like for you? Where did you record?
In Toledo, mm-hmm. at a practice spot, our buddy Chris
from guitar player from Shit Life.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, he wanted to help us out with the first recording, and we were totally game, and we finally got it together and did it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was real awesome. Nice. It's got a cool little spot down there right in downtown Toledo. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
And so how did you have you known him, Chris, for a while? How did you meet him?
Oh, yeah. Well, for the last like 10 years, I've been in a couple different grind bands. So we played with Shit Life all the time. And so we became friends, you know, right off the bat, because he's a great guy. And then, you know, they're both great guys. And so,
I've seen Shit Life a couple of times, and every time I'm trying to remember, I think the first time, Shoot, what was that? Sellermans, I think.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah. Hobo Soup.
That was us
Yeah,
too.
Hobo
You
Soup
guys were
was
there too?
there. Yeah, that was Immortal Bird, right? Yeah.
Oh,
We played
shit.
that show too.
Oh, shit. I didn't.
That's
Well, see, this explains so much.
yeah.
Hell
That
yeah.
was one of the best recordings, live full show recordings of that band that we have.
Oh,
That
man.
show. Someone
Yeah.
recorded the whole thing, start to finish.
Oh, man. That's
Yeah.
crazy. Yeah,
Yeah.
that was a great show. I really miss that place. Sellerman's was super
Yeah.
cool.
That was the last show before they closed. No, they had one more show after us that then they closed. That
Yeah,
sucked.
because I saw Childbite there,
Oh, yeah.
that show that you guys were and somebody else was
I think
not
I saw
necessarily
Child right
metal.
there too.
Yeah, Childbite with like what was that other band that the dude from Shock Narcotic was in? He was like the singer. I can't think of the name.
That's
O
not Golden
old or
Torso
something like
or
that.
something. Oh, yeah, old something. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's something to do with old, yeah.
Yeah, Golden Torso, that's another band that's awesome too,
Yeah.
but
I
crazy.
knew it had old in it. You're right.
So, where are you guys located? Like, are you in Toledo area or are you up in Detroit? Where?
No.
We first started in St. Clair Shores. Now we're in Mount Clemens, but yeah, we've been
Oh,
the majority of us is in St. Clair Shores on the east side, yeah.
yeah, that's
Nice.
right. I mean, he lives in St. Clair Shores, and that's where we played there forever.
Yeah.
But then I moved up here to Mount Clemens and built a jam room above my garage, and that's where we've been playing ever since.
Nice. So what was the recording process like for you guys? I mean, did you have like all the tunes ready and worked up? Were you trying to do anything to like, you know, because sometimes you get in the studio and you realize like, we should have added this or that. You know, did you feel like you got everything you wanted? And how many songs did you end up recording?
Six.
Yeah, we got it's
Yeah.
almost 50 minutes worth of music and
Nice.
sitting those six songs. We had everything ready to go. We just played them like we normally play them, and he did a good job capturing it. And we did it live.
Okay.
Each one was just one take. There was a few little fly-ins here and there for
Yeah.
lyrics that were flubbed or whatever, but for the most part, it was 100% live. And we got the whole all six songs done in like 7 hours, I think.
Oh shit. That's really good. Holy
Yeah.
crap.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was
Awesome.
Mike's first time in the studio.
Yeah. Yep. Sure was.
Excellent. So Mike, had
Yeah.
you you know, it sounds like Chris had been in grind bands. Had you been in bands before this?
Yeah, like 15 years ago. I've been raising a bunch of kids ever since then. So that was really what I was doing.
Yeah,
And
awesome.
but way back I played in a punk band and we did emo shit, like it
Yeah.
was high school. But yeah, we played a lot of shows too though. Yeah, we played some cool places and stuff. But
Nice.
no, nothing lately. Just getting into his bands and going to see what he had going on, and luckily I'm got in the midst of it somehow and we get to do this.
So it's kind of a depart. Well, it's a big departure from grind.
Yeah.
Opposite sides of the
Like,
field.
what was the it, for both of you? Like, what was the desire, the influence to do Doom?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I've wanted to be in a Doom. I wanted to, it's funny because I came up with the name Monolithic Architecture like 25 years ago,
Oh, really?
and I said, at some point in my musical career, I want to be the drummer in a band called Monolithic Architecture, a doom band. And I've been saying that forever, and it's finally happened. And it's just I couldn't be happier. It's really and it's such almost it's such crushing music. It's
Yeah.
just it's really fulfilling.
Awesome.
It's really cool.
That's
Yeah.
cool.
So I knew the story. He wanted to play drums in a doom band.
Yeah.
And I was totally game. And we just started doing it. And there was no vocals at first. For the first
Oh.
year and a half, 2 years, there was no vocals because he just wanted to do drumming. And
Yeah.
then he just started doing it. And we just started learning all the songs again with lyrics.
Oh, man.
And with vocals on it.
That's crazy. That is crazy. So Chris, had you done vocals before? I can't remember what you played in Hobo
School. I had only ever done vocals.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had only been the vocalist. I've never been the drummer. Ever.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Awesome. So the vocal part was, I'm not trying to diminish it, but because it seemed to come a little easier for me because I was always the singer.
Oh, man.
And so drumming was the one. What drumming was the thing that was that? That's why we played so long without me trying, because I was like, I wasn't sure if I could do it.
Yeah, fuck. Had you played drums before? I mean, you have to have.
Yeah. Oh, I've wanted to play drums, and I've played drums for a long, long time, jamming with friends and stuff like that. I played for a long time. I was a worship drummer at church, so I played every week, twice a week. It really built my chops up, and that's how I, but I've never had any lessons, unless you count taking my son to drum lessons for a couple of years, but,
Right.
But yeah.
Wow.
So I've always wanted to be the drummer, so.
Very cool. And now it's happened.
Yeah.
So what inspired the name? Because that was a question I had too, is monolithic architecture.
Well, I had heard it on some, History or Discovery Channel kind of documentary about, the pyramids and Stonehenge and all the triptychs and all that kind of stuff. And someone had mentioned it as, or called it monolithic architecture. And I was just like, wow, that's what a great name for a doom band. I'm just like, and it blew me away. And I just stuck in my head forever. And
It is a great name because, I was actually, Googling, monolithic architecture to figure out, like, it's got to have some like real thing. It's really got two things. It's got an IT thing as far as like
computers,
a full operating system does all the bells and whistles, and a building carved from a single stone. And I think that's where it fits in so well with doom, is that carved from stone, that crushing atmosphere of doom.
Exactly. And that's like we're actually getting our logo worked on right now. We still don't have one. It's we weren't ready for anything else. We finally decided to play live, and then we're like, crap, we don't have anything else ready except for the song.
Well, I know. When I went to because I was writing that review, and I like to tag the bands, and I was like, well, it's a person, it looks like, because I had a friend, and I was like, well, they don't even have a fucking page yet. But yeah, now I'm like, all right, they're just out there fucking doing it.
Yeah. When you saw us, that was only our third show ever.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That was fantastic. Fantastic.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it, man. It really felt good. I mean, when we were done with that, we were just so happy. It just, cause that was our first time playing the Sanctuary. I played a Sanctuary even back when it was Paychex, but we'd never played it as this band, and it was cool. Yeah. It was a last minute thing too. Oh. Like they called us that day.
Oh, that's right. Cause Convulsus bailed.
Yeah.
Cause they got COVID or something.
Yep. And Mike Bradley from Centenary, he called, I was in All Creation Wept with him. I was the singer there, so he texted me like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, hey, do you guys want to do a show tonight?
Awesome, man. Yeah, I mean, it's quite impressive actually, because you guys were fantastic. I thought the way you played, timing, just the songs themselves, just heavy and crushing, and for the third time out, that's pretty impressive. That's really awesome.
I appreciate that. I really do.
So
I mean, Mike writes some such different kind of riffs, and the way he structures songs is very different than anyone I've ever played with. It's very unique.
Awesome. Well, I was going to, that's where I was going to go next, is like, what is that songwriting dynamic like for you guys? Do you just get together, start jamming and pick up, like, Mike, you come up with a riff and then Chris, you jump in? How does that work? Or does somebody come up with, like, Mike, you come in and go, hey, I've got this whole idea, and run through the whole damn thing?
I think for the most part, yeah, I come in with the an idea, but then it's just jamming. Yeah, I come in knowing the, what we kind of want out of a song.
Yeah.
And then just working it out. Just practice it out, you know?
Yeah.
And slowly but surely. Because we've been working on one now for a few months. And, you know, I think right now it's about 12 minutes. We're trying to get a couple more minutes on it before it's all over.
Yeah, Mike's like, I'm determined to have this, make this a 16-minute song. 15, 16-minute song. I'm like, all right.
We can do that. We can do that. Awesome.
a lot of jamming, though. A lot of it is just jamming.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he'll come up with a riff, and we'll figure out how that riff is going to play, you know, how we do that riff.
Yeah.
And then we say, okay, from that riff, he wants to go to this direction. And then, so then we figure out that part of the song, you know, figure out what the drum beat's going to be to what his riff's going to be.
Yeah.
And then we figure out how they fit together and what transitions have to be there and all that.
Yep.
That's kind of how it goes. And then we just build it up. So like this song, we played the first riff for like a month and a half until we figured out what the next riff was going to be, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, because we knew how we wanted it to go, but we didn't know how it was going to get there. So,
yeah. Ah, crazy. Wow. Now, when you're like crafting those songs, are you thinking about, I don't know how much like music theory or anything that you guys have. Are you thinking that way in terms of like, I want to have it do something like melodically this way? Or is it more just like a feel? Like, I really love the way this riff sounds. And I feel like it needs to go somewhere. And it, as you experiment, it comes out and you go, oh, that's the direction.
I'd say 100% that. Yeah, it definitely is just the feel.
Yeah.
Building riffs and, you know, chunks of songs and just making them fit somehow and connecting them here and there and switching it up and, you know,
and we're figuring out how many times we're going to do this and how long it's going to take and all this kind of stuff, you know, because, you know, Doom, you a lot of repetition, a lot of, you know, a lot of build up and, you know,
and a lot of
dynamic, which is really cool, you know, because we can play real soft and real light and then just super as heavy as can possibly be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, definitely the dynamics. That's the thing you guys do really well that I've, of other Doom bands that I've enjoyed, is they are masters of dynamics. It's not just crushing riffs. It's these really kind of thoughtful interludes or, you know, preludes or sequels that kind of bring you into that feeling, you know, that heaviness at some point and then drops it down. But then even when there's maybe not as much distortion or there's like not a growling vocal or whatever, there's still that kind of sense of heaviness that's still underlying it. So
yeah, and that's all him, man. That his the tone that he has and how he's built his tone and how he uses feedback, it's impressive to see.
It's always
everybody's got their own thing. I mean it's what you like and what you feel, and you know. And you learn a lot, you know, everything works differently and every room's different. So, I mean, it's really just how you feel at the moment, I guess, especially with feedback. It lies for sure. Right. You know, playing out, it's different everywhere. So you kind of just do what you feel's best.
It's funny. When he's doing his feedback thing on stage, you look over at me, I'm just grinning. I'm like, because I know how much he's into it. It's right. Amazing. He's exactly the same way he practice. He's just like, you know.
Right. Trying to find that angle and find out when the, you know, the harmonics are going to get to the right point where you're like, yeah, there it is.
Exactly. And then hold it there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until it hurts.
Yeah. Just enough. Has it breached that? Yes. Yes, it has. I can move on. Awesome. So what was the inspiration for you guys to get into music initially for each of you? Like, so Mike, how did you get into guitar?
Oh man. I just growing up loving music, all sorts of music. And I ended up getting to my first guitar soon as my stepdad came into my life, I was probably around 12, and he played blues guitar and in bands and stuff. And so just I was allowed to use whatever, whenever, and eventually I just got better and, you know, got different axes throughout the years and was able to just hop in a band with one of my best friends, still my best friend. And he played drums, same thing. He just got a drum kit and just started playing music.
Awesome.
I mean, I was a skateboarder, you know, that was my big thing. But yeah, I just probably just being loving music at a young age, cool. You know. And then just by the time I got into heavier music, I wanted to play guitar. And that was it from there. Really just tabs, guitar tabs. Wearing rips.
Awesome. How about you, Chris?
I was also raised very musically. I was in choirs and in the school musicals, and I was in the marching band. But I always wanted to play the drums, but I never could. I always played the trumpet, you know, all through high school and everything. And then after that, in the Marine Corps, I played drums wherever I could. You know, a couple of friends had drum sets here, and then I moved out to Hollywood when I got out there because I made a lot of friends up in Hollywood. And so I started, I was actually a drum tech up there for a couple different guys. Every time they would practice, I'd go up and set their drums up for them because they had a weird kind of system there where you kept all your stuff in a closet and rented the room every once in a while. So you'd have to bring all your stuff out. They'd hire me to come out and set their drums up for them, you know. So I would get to play drums whenever I could there. And then there's a couple of rehearsal places where I had a lot of drummer friends and I was allowed to play on their kits a lot. But I never was in a band or anything out there. Uh-huh. And then I came back here. I was in a motorcycle accident, and I had to move back home. And I started. A buddy of mine said they were looking. His friend's band was looking for a singer, and I'm like, because he saw me in a Cannibal Corpse shirt, and he was wearing a White Zombie shirt, and he's like, "Hey, we should talk." I'm like, "Okay." And then he said his buddies was looking for a singer. And I'm like, well, I never thought I'd be the singer of a band, but I'm like, well, what the hell? I'll give it a shot. And so I went in and did my best Henry Rollins impersonation and got the gig. And that was a band called Subsidence, like a thrash band back in the early 90s.
Dude, I know that band.
Yeah, really? I was a singer. Yeah. So
we might have corresponded. Who is the guy that did most of your reaching out with your tapes? I think I have your tape downstairs.
No kidding.
Yeah,
it was Paul, Polly, Wayne, and
it was probably Polly that I talked to.
Yeah, Polly's he still does promotion and stuff around town.
So I was a guitar player in a band called Battalion around the same time.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And he. He reached out to me, and I have your tape. It's downstairs.
That's amazing.
And we were actually talked about doing shows with you guys, but it didn't work out. I can't remember why. Might have been the tail end of when I, before the band broke up. I can't remember exactly, but I definitely remembered Subsidence. So crazy.
That's amazing. Yeah. And so I was in that band until they decided I couldn't have a kid and be in a band when my girlfriend got pregnant at the time.
Oh, man.
They kicked me out. And so I was like, all right, whatever. And then after a while, I joined me and Mike Bradley started All Creation Wept. Nice. And we did that for a good long time. And then I took a long break. And then my buddy Jimmy, Jim Kelly, he's one of the best drummers in the state. And he was the drummer in All Creation Wept. And he started a grind band with Donnie Benson and called Reptilian Brain. And,
I remember that band. Yeah.
And I was a singer in that band too.
So they
asked me to be the
Did you play at the Diesel?
Yeah.
Oh fuck.
With Gut Rot, right?
Yeah, might have been. Shit, I don't know. Yeah. I was at that show. I took some picture I may have pictures of you from back then. It was like when I first started doing photography. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so Reptilian Brain for about 5 years, and then that kind of fell apart, and then I did Hobos 2, another grind band, for another 5 years or so, and now this. It's been something I've been doing since 93, I guess, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, what for each of you, what was a influential, musician or band that kind of influenced your approach to your instrument? So like Mike, was there a particular like band or guitarist that you were like,
oh. Yeah, guitar wise, I definitely say Jack White, like the White Stripes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, that was like my early influences was like, yeah, that style of like indie rock, blues rock. But definitely Nirvana was like my huge thing, man. I like every Nirvana song, I wanted to learn every fucking one. And so that was those were probably my biggest to when I first started, learning how to play guitar. For sure, Jack White, though.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love that style.
And what would have gotten you into like doing the heavier doom stuff that you're doing today?
Really just getting into this, like, I've always loved death metal. And so I've always liked, you know, heavy music, obviously like old school, thrash and old school death metal.
Yeah.
But, really it was just trying it out. I love the music. Like, got huge on like, Bellwitch, like Stupid Long, just amazing shit. And I'm like, I want to do something like that, but like a little nastier, like just kind of, and just,
that's awesome.
Really, it was a lot of just learning, just doing it and practicing, you know, a lot of the style that we got into, but, you know, Primitive Man, I mean, shit like that, just really nasty doom.
Awesome. How about you, Chris?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I told him this story like not too long ago because I was listening to Grief, you know, and I hadn't listened to it in a long time. And I said, holy shit, I would play this beat. This is a beat I would play. Like, this is, it sounds like me playing. And I'm like, this is a band I listened to heavily for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, you know, they kind of fell off the rotation or whatever. And, but I didn't realize how much of an influence it had on me. And then the same thing happened to me. I was listening to Biohazard, who I was huge into for a while.
Yeah.
And like that same thing, I was like, oh my God, I would play that fill. This is weird. And then, so I'm kind of noticing these because I was never the drummer. I didn't really have a way to hear these things, because I wasn't writing the music as a drummer. So I didn't realize how these guys had influenced me from way back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to me. Yeah. And of course, you know, Neil Peart and Peter Criss and all that.
Kind of, oh,
those are the guys, and you know.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Especially, I was watching, just this weekend, I was watching one, that documentary with, on Rush, the, behind the light stage. I can't remember.
Yeah.
You know, basically like them when they first were starting out. So I watched that, you know, so you get to see Neil Peart and how he kind of progressed, sort of. And then I was watching, I've got the on DVD, like it's like the like early stuff from Kiss. But when you watch Peter Criss, it's like, holy crap, that guy, man. He was kicking ass, you know?
I love that guy. Oh, amazing.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, Kiss and Rush, you know, that Rush got their
start from Kiss. What a combination, right?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that they would have been so intermeshed like that?
I know.
It's incredible.
It is.
That's a great documentary.
Yeah. So speaking of albums, I always like to ask this. What was the very first, like, album, CD, or tape that you bought with your own money? Chris, let's see. What was yours?
Oh, boy. Man. I think this is going to date me a bit. I think the first, well, I can remember my mom breaking the album and throwing it away. I bought Motley Crue Shout at the Devil, but I know that wasn't the first one. That's a really hard one. My first record. I used to buy like comedy records, like Bill Cosby and Alan Sherman and all that stuff.
It could have been Bill Cosby.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
That's funny because I don't know how my parents ended up with it, but they had an 8-track of Cheech and Chong.
And
I used to listen to that all the time. I'm like, what the hell is this? I still don't know why my parents had that, you know?
Right.
It's some crazy shit on it. It's these stoners. Yeah. Like, I don't think my parents were stoners, but you know what?
You never know, right?
You never know, right?
Yeah, that's funny.
So, Mike,
Now,
how about
I do
you?
remember
Go
having
ahead.
like I do remember having that Queen album with the robot on the front.
Oh yeah, all the world or the not all the world's a stage, but it's something like that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is, but yeah, like, 'cause there were some Queen albums, some Styx albums, some Rush albums,
Oh
Kiss,
yeah.
stuff like that. I remember having that stuff when I was a teenager.
Awesome.
Pink Floyd.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm an old guy,
Yeah. Look at me.
Right.
Mike, how about you?
The first one I can remember buying, I think, was a Limp Bizkit CD. I think it
Nice.
was Significant Other. And like probably like, gosh, Papa Roach when they did their
Oh
first one.
yeah, Papa
Yeah.
Roach, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
Incest,
man.
I think it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember.
definitely grew up like with the early 2000s, late 90s
Yep.
MTV.
Yeah, Seven Dust, those
Oh
bands.
yeah.
Yeah.
Skrillex,
Skrillex,
Cold Chamber.
yeah, Cold Chamber. I saw them at Harpo's.
Oh, no kidding, man. I
Yeah.
saw them at Clutch Cargo's.
Oh, really? Awesome.
Yeah.
I actually liked Cold Chamber. It was like,
Yeah, Dez is
it was
cool.
good.
It was a cool
Yeah,
band.
I thought they were a good band. I thought Seven Dust was good.
I like Seven Dust too.
Yeah, I actually saw Papa Roach at the, I think they call it Stone Temple now, but it was like Rock on the Range or something down in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And it was them and Seven. It basically a lot of those like like Creed type bands and whatnot. But who the fuck was there? Oh, Kid Rock. And I can't stand Kid Rock. Sorry if you guys are fans, but I was
No,
my friends were so excited about it, and they're down like, and I said, I'm fucking sitting up there because I'm not being a part of this bullshit. And I just
right.
remember when he came on stage, I'm like this, this ant in the crowd, but I'm way up in the fucking rafters drinking a beer, just fuck off. I was like, fuck that guy, just fuck.
You're that one guy in the Nazi picture, right? That's got his arms crossed and instead of going.
Fuckers. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, ah, oh, yeah, that fucking guy. Yeah. So anyway, so what was it like? So along the same line of firsts, what was the first concert each of you guys went to?
Me, it was Dio. I'm pretty sure it was Dio on the Sacred Heart tour where he
Oh, no.
fought the dragon on stage. It was fucking amazing. It
Yeah.
was at Joe Louis. And around the same time, I saw Metallica open for Ozzy on the Master of Puppets
Oh
tour.
yeah, that was awesome.
Around that same time, those were like my two like first shows.
That's awesome. That's very cool. Mike, how
Yeah.
about you?
My first show was BB King, I do believe.
Really?
Yeah,
Nice.
BB King and Buddy Guy. Yeah, it was
Excellent.
old school blues show.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, I think I was like 12, I think. Yeah, I was young.
That's
I'll say
awesome.
that. Yeah, I remember. That was definitely my first show. He gave his chain to my mom. My mom had great seats. She was like way
Yeah.
down, and I was like in the back. And he
Oh
gave his
man.
gold chain to my mom. It was random.
Really?
He gives it out like probably every show.
Oh man. That's a trip. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I saw B.B. King at Crossroads, Eric Clapton's Crossroads when they had that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was great. And I think Buddy Guy was there too, because Buddy Guy finished
Okay.
up the whole thing.
Amazing guitar players, man. That's
Yeah,
just
man. Hell
amazing
yeah.
stuff. I
Yeah.
watched the DVD from one of those Crossroads, and holy cow.
Yeah.
What a thing to see.
Yeah.
I've never been to one, but that's cool.
Yeah, it was super cool. The only bummer was is like we got there at like 9 o'clock in the morning. It's because we wanted to be up front. I mean, I think you can even see us in some of the DVD shots, like a pan if you see some bald head flash. You're like, oh shit, there's Chuck. But it was just like it was fucking like 100 degrees.
Oh,
I'm
man.
not kidding. And we were drinking Corona because it's pretty much all they had. I didn't take a piss for 14 hours. I was just
Oh my God.
sweating my ass
Oh.
off. And standing, by the time I got done, I'm like, oh my God, dude, I don't think my back will work anymore. But it was a good show. But I'll tell you, it was by the time, you know, Buddy Guy got on at, I don't know, whatever time, 11 o'clock, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
You
know,
as much as you want to see him, you're like, will this end soon?
Yeah, right. This is great. Can you wrap it up?
Yeah, yeah. I'll watch the rest later on TV. I gotta go. Oh man. So what do you guys think of the music scene in Michigan and in your area in particular? How do you feel about it in general?
I love it. I think it's pretty damn good. I think we've got a really excellent cross section of bands, and they all are willing to travel at least, you know, 2 hours to play.
Yeah.
You know, so you can play a lot of different places, you know. Yeah. And I think it's very cool. I've been in the scene for 30 years now, and I've always been surprised at how many bands and how many diverse, you know, how many different kind of bands there are. And I love playing. I don't know. I'm sure he does too. I love playing on diverse bills where it's not all doom, you know, like that bill you saw us on.
Oh yeah, it's
all
great.
All kinds of different music. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree. I like it when a show's got a mix of stuff, you know. It's not all thrash. It's not all, you know, it's got maybe a little bit of everything. And that show did. Really good. Yeah, I agree. Sometimes I like to get the pulse from, you know, musicians that are in the scene to see what they think. But I feel, you know, having played years ago, it felt a little more disjointed. We were in Ann Arbor, so we were kind of outside the main, you know, circle of bands that played in the Detroit area. And we practiced in Pinckney, so, you know, we're way out there. So, you know, kind of felt a little bit, you know, out in the cornfields and stuff. So it didn't feel quite as cohesive. But my experience, you know, from just going to local shows for the last few years, it does feel very, you know, welcoming. It seems like all the bands cooperate and are supporting each other and going to each other's shows and, you know, sharing their shit on social media. So, yeah, I think it's cool.
It's
all love. Yeah, like any type, like, yeah, extreme metal, doom metal, you know, even like hardcore and punk and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's the same dudes at the shows, you know. Everybody's got love for all of it, man. It's really cool, man.
Yeah, it is. So what's up next for you guys? So you got the record recorded, obviously you got to do mixing, mastering. Any time frame you're thinking of for when that will be ready?
Well, I think we're getting pretty close on how we want it all to sound. And then once we get that figured out, then he's going to go through, you know, and put that on everything. And then we're just going to, so probably I'd say within a month, and we're still waiting on the art and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple of people working on that. So we'll see how that comes out. But cool. I would say within a month or two, we should have it should be available either, you know, online or at least, if not physical copies too.
Cool.
Cause that's awesome. The physical copies is the easy part.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, are you going to do, CDs, tapes?
Probably at first. And, you know, if there's interest, maybe we can, I hear that doing any kind of wax is way more expensive, but I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Cool. And what about shows? So this won't go out for a few weeks, so maybe like 3 or 4 weeks out. So,
okay.
Anything coming up in the next, like next month or anything?
Well, we're playing up at the Diesel. They're having some kind of a big extreme metal night up there. It's
May 11th.
May 11th, yeah, something like that. Oh. I'm not sure what it's called yet, but
okay.
That's the only thing we have on the books right now.
Cool.
We were trying to get the recording done and everything. And then now we'll start, we'd love to play you know, we love playing live. So we'd like to start playing around, you know, New Dodge and stuff like that. Just got to start sending feelers out.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think it probably helps once you've got something recorded that you can say, hey, here it is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is us.
as opposed to like trying to tell somebody, you know, describe it, and then they're like, what the fuck is
this? Yeah. Luckily, we were able to get some really, some early good recordings because a guy that saw our first show had a studio out in Lansing. Oh, what's it called?
Ann Arbor.
Yeah, out in Ann Arbor. And he liked us, and he did a kind of interview, a short interview, and then recorded us playing in his studio. So we would have a nice copy, and he would, you know, promote his studio.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, beneficial, and fed us some burgers, and he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, it was really cool. Rick?
Yeah, Rick? From the Depth Studio, I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
I'll send you the information for it.
Cool, yeah. Yeah, because I can link to it in the notes, you know, when it
Yeah, so there's a couple. So there's two videos. One is like a set of three songs, and one is that real long song, The Drag, the first song we played.
Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. So yeah. I was curious, like, if you could take your band, you know, anywhere in the world, where would you like to play? Is there a particular stage? And what other bands would you like to play with? Sort of a pie in the sky kind of thing.
I couldn't imagine what stage. I like stages pretty small. Yeah. I mean, I play in a big place as long as the stage is small. So,
man, that's a hard question.
I love to play with anybody, to be honest.
let's say, well, where's Primitive Man from?
Colorado.
Let's play Colorado with Primitive Man.
Oh, right. Red Rocks.
There you go. Yeah, Red Rocks. That'd be awesome.
There you go. Right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Throw a Bellwitch and Yob into the mix, and it's all good. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I saw Primitive Man at last year at Maryland Death Fest.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was the very first time I ever seen him. That was.
We've seen him a couple times at the Sanctuary.
Yeah.
I'm going to Maryland Death Fest for my first time this year.
Oh, really? Awesome.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's if the weather's hot, it can be kind of grueling, but it's fun. It's definitely fun.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. And it's cool because everything's pretty much in the same general area. They used to have it the very first time I went, it was like 2016, and they used to have it in this big like parking lot basically. And it was a ways away from the couple of the other venues. So you really had to like hoof it to get over there. And last year when I was there, it was like it was easy to get around. Although if you really wanted to see, like I wanted to really see Carcass. And I got there a little late. So you just had to kind of weasel in cause it was packed and the people had been there for it, you know, forever. But anyway, yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, guys, I want to thank you so much for being on Fans with Bands. I got one last question for you.
All right.
Pineapple or no pineapple on pizza?
No. My God, no. I don't know about him, but not no.
Yeah, I definitely take pineapple on pizza.
All right. Excellent. Well, Chris, I'm with you. I like pineapple, but it needs to be on the it. It needs to be separate. Can't be.
No fruit and meat. Come on.
No. Although, you know, if somebody ordered it up and it's sitting there and they say, hey, do you want some? Sure. Why not? All right. Well, guys, thanks again. I'll be looking forward to checking out the album when it comes out. And definitely, hopefully, see you at a show sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for having us.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks
I really
for
appreciate
having
it.
Us, man.
It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Many thanks to Chris and Mike for joining me on this episode of Fans of Bands. Monolithic Architecture are absolutely devastating, and I had a great time talking with these guys about their musical journeys. I'm very excited to hear the new Monolithic Architecture album, which that is a mouthful to say, which they have just wrapped up recording and should be out this spring. I have to believe it will be crushing. Keep an eye on their socials for updates and upcoming shows. See the show notes for all the details and links. Bands are nothing without you, the fans. Purchasing music and merchandise is critical to their survival. If you can help out your favorite bands, please do. If you're in Michigan, consider following the Playing in Detroit Area Tonight and SE for Southeast Michigan Music Facebook pages. They are fantastic places for fans and bands to support each other and share our combined love of music. Thank you all so much for listening. Be sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast service to get each and every episode of Fans with Bands. Spread the word by rating the show, telling your friends, telling your neighbors, telling your family, telling your priest, tell everyone, and leave a comment. We want to hear what you think. You can keep in touch by following us on social media. This is a Life in Michigan production. Until next time, be well and kick out the jams.